Now, where were we? Oh, that's right. When cave women told cave men they were pregnant and were going to have a cave baby, did they direct them to take a wild guess or to wait for more definitive testing before deciding to paint the cave pink or blue? What I thought would be a dynasty turns out to have been a blip. Oh well, it was fun while it lasted, but it was not to be. What is today's lament? I am no longer Latrobe's most popular author, a category I did not know existed until the Latrobe Bulletin contacted me last summer and told me I was the guy. It was a heady time. I really thought I'd have a 25-year or so long run, but it was over before I even knew I had a chance to capitalize on it. I never took the time to throw open the doors to a prosperous local business and announce, "Hi, I'm Chris Rodell. The Latrobe Bulletin declared me Latrobe's most popular author. What do you have to give me for free?" The belief that I was entitled to free stuff harkens back to Sully Sullenberger, the Hudson River pilot, hero, and the recipient of one of the least creative nicknames in aviation history. Remember Sully? He, in 2009, saved the lives of 150 passengers and five crew members when he safely landed a jumbo jet on the Hudson River after some unfortunate geese got sucked into the engines and rendered the plane unflyable. The guy was an overnight sensation. I remember the New York mayor, amidst giddy hoopla, presenting him with a key to the city. It set my mind reeling. What kind of shit could you get with a key to New York City? Would hookers be obliged to take it? Luckily, I knew a guy who was familiar with the protocols. Arnold Palmer. He had, I think, something like 67 keys to cities around the world, given him not for saving lives, but just for being a swell guy. Predictably, he never did anything with his collection. He just kept them under glass in his office for their visitors to admire. It betrays a stunning lack of imagination. I asked if he ever thought of using one of them when he needed a new shirt. He did not. But to verify my premise, I called Erie PA Mayor Joyce Savicchio to see if having the key to her city would be a key to the city. Absolutely, she said. He could use it to get anything he wants. He's welcome back here anytime he needs a splurge. That's what I had my eye on, but it was not to be. I forgot the names of the usurper and the two runners-up to my most popular author category. I didn't feel like and I didn't even make the top three. Now I know what it feels like to be the kid who gets picked last in dodgeball. Most puzzling to me is the year I was deemed the most popular author, I wrote hardly a thing. It was a transitional year. I had no books for sale. My output was slim. It was like I wasn't an author at all. Yet this year I have an important and well-regarded book out, affiliated promotions and various publication opportunities, and I get no notice. Is someone trying to tell me something? I'm Chris Rodell, and this is your Use All the Crayons podcast. I sometimes ask myself if I drink too much. I usually say no. I do this out loud and using two different voices like I'm on stage. Christopher, you're drinking too much. Leave me alone. I know when I've had too much. No, it's gone far enough. The kids are noticing. Hey, get out of here, slut. For about 25 years, I was the worst dressed adult at every grown-up function with more than two adults. I'd wear sandals to supper, grunge flannel to church weddings, and ripped up old Molly Hatchet concert tees to class. And I was the teacher. That was about seven years ago, I entered a period lush with loot. The house and the car were paid off and I had disposable income. I became, for however briefly, a man of means and decided I ought to look the part. I went out and spent a lot of money on nice clothes and accessories. It's some of the best money I've ever spent. I can appear by turns dapper, dashing, and debonair. It's all there on the mahogany hangers. I have a closet full of really cool clothes right now at my fingertips. So how come I'm sitting here sweating like a pig? How come all these cool clothes as I can't find something that'll give me a welcome little chill? The nation is in the midst of a killer heat wave. We're scorched from coast to toasty coast. Yet the most comfortable moment anyone has in this awful heat is their birthday suit. But going pantsless in public comes, ironically enough, with its own pocketfuls of complications. In winter we have Gore-Tex, heat packs for boots and gloves and thermal underwear that'll keep our old chestnuts roasting in even the worst blizzards. How come no one's invented a self-cooling bodysuit for the masses? Winter gives even notorious cheapskates like me soulful options for warmth. We have fireplaces, hearty soups, and drawers of thick sweaters to layer up on. And if the wife's not too angry for setting the thermostat 1 degree Fahrenheit above what freezes aquarium water, she'll even agree to some heat-generating body-on-body friction, or so I'm told. It's not at all like that these dog day parts of summer, when you don't want any part of your own body touching another, let alone someone else's. Right now, the damp armpits are at about 18 inches from a Frigidaire window unit cooler air conditioner. Set on high cool for the last 90 minutes, it's incapable of providing any satisfying climatic change. Worse, it's trying valiantly to reduce the temperature of about 200 square feet of office where I am not. It's one of the world's most inefficient machines trying in vain to cool its human counterpart. I don't need blowing cool air all over the office. I just need a cone of cool around myself. I hope this won't hurt your feelings, but I suspect you could all use a cone of cool all of your own, couldn't you? It's bound to be hot where you are, and come on, you're reading a blog on a Friday afternoon. That might be worse than actually authoring one. It's safe to say we could both use multiple cones of cool. Think of the efficiency. When the Frigidaire has been going for 90 minutes, it could be accomplished in about 4. That's all I need. And it's happening all over America. Air conditioners are expending tremendous amounts of precious natural resources to cool places where people are not. First things first, someone needs to develop the summer equivalent of Gore-Tex. It needs to be thin, it needs to be stylish, and it needs to resale with a 40% propriety cut that goes directly to me. It'll be such a grand success that fashion models will hit catwalks having cat fights to see who gets to spend time in the cone of cool. Just thinking about it makes me incredibly hot. And that's a good place to stop right now, because we're right about where we back where we started. Otherwise, great Chincoteague beach vacation was marred by incident initiated by kids asked if they could bury me in the sand. Sure, I said, I'm game. But when they had me completely immobilized, the little bastard stole my shoes and wallet. I should have known better. They weren't my kids. This one's from 2014. I hear it's common for fathers on their deathbeds to lament they didn't spend more time with their children. That's not me. I foresee my deathbed regret being I didn't spend more time watching television. If I'd have agreed to the deal, if someone had warned me how much parenting would cut into my TV viewing. There are so many shows I want to watch, so much sports I want to witness. But I want to set a good example for our girls, and that last bit is killing me. I love our daughters, and all the time I get to spend with them, but sometimes you just have to say enough's enough. Maybe it's feeling acute. It is feeling acute because we just got back from vacation, which in many ways is like being confined to a minimum security cell block, albeit one where you spend lots of time slathering lotion on one another. And call me naive, but I just don't see that much SPF 30 being distributed in the slam. But like being in prison, it's just 4 of you for days and days in the car, in the house, or at the beach. Eat, play, travel. Everything is done as a unit. A friend saw a picture I'd posted online and speculated it might have been difficult to leave the Outer Banks. Yes, it was wonderful, but I'll admit, I drove faster and more recklessly on the way home than I did on the way down. Of course, the way down included a visit to the in-laws, so a certain amount of celebration, deliberate dawdling must be factored in. But 6 days was plenty. Another problem is I can't ease off the fathering pedal. I'm a very potent father. Not in the way father of 19 Jim Bob Dugan is potent, certainly, but I'm always looking for ways to shape the children in the hopes that to avoid them becoming uncouth morons that make up such a large swath of our national demography. And for God's sakes, I have to do all this sober. Valen and I enjoyed some wine and beers on the trip, but I was very responsible. I'm very aware that my daughters are always watching me, and I need to set a good example. So when I got home Saturday, I ran straight to the bar. I missed my friends. I missed swearing. I miss behaving in ways that middle school health teachers say will lead to early demise. Many people go on vacation to change unhealthy behaviors. They need to detox. When I get home from vacation, I need to retox. That's one scheduled for this week. I coincidentally have will be visited by two very good friends from the next 2 days who assist me in the debauch. There's still time for you to make it to the pond for lunch today. My legendary friend Angelo Camarado and his two sons are coming for the afternoon. The Guinness Book of World Records cited him in 1987 for being the world's longest-serving bartender. He poured his first beer on April 7, 1933, at midnight, the exact moment Killjoy Prohibition in America ended. He poured them clear through 2009 when he had to retire for health reasons. Not his. His 59-year-old son suffered a heart attack and could no longer run the bar. When Steelers sought to honor their most devout fans by having them submit five-word reasons, Cam's reason was, season ticket holder since 1933. I attended his 100th birthday in March. He's one of the greatest men I've ever known. I once asked him when he was 92 to pinpoint the best years of his life, figuring he'd give me a very narrow answer. He did not. For me, the best years were from when I was about 40 to about 75. They were just really great years. What an inspiration. By then tomorrow, a buddy from Ohio University is stopping by for golf, Steeler camp, and all the associated silliness. During shop stops at home, my daughters will see me having fun, laughing, being social, and enjoying life the way it ought to be. What they won't see is me sitting in front of my nearby TV watching hours and hours of his programs. That's something I hope to do one day again when the girls are done watching me. My failures have been so persistent, my delusions of grandeur have become delusions of mediocrity. Here's one from 2015. The critical criteria for selecting a new office space were two. Would it allow opportunities for fun? And would it be a good place to fend off marauding zombie hordes? Because you just never know. So my office search loosely paralleled the plot from the uproarious 2004 zombie Brit flick, Shaun of the Dead. See, I'm not at all like fancy writers, and by fancy writers I mean ones who earn their livings being paid to write. No, all I need is a quiet place I can make loud. I don't want interruptions or chatmates. I just need a small still room for me, my laptop, and my Bose Wave radio. Then I just sit down, plug in, crank up. Right now it's alt country, blues, rocker, folky, geriatric hellraiser, Ray Wiley Hubbard. Loud music to me seems to vacuum away all the mind clutter that gets in the way of necessary thoughtfulness. I don't know why that is so, and I just hope my daughters don't inherit that trait, or else I'll soon know all the lyrics to songs by the band called One Direction. Because of my past happy experience, I confined my search to places that served hooch. I should interrupt now and tell you when it was going on. This was 2015, and I had just been evicted from my office above the pond where I'd been for 15 years. And this week, on the July 15th, will be 10 years here at the Tin Lizzie. It's quite a record. But who knows, maybe I'd write better if my office were above or below a place of worship. But I know someone religious-minded wandered in and heard me playing Ray Wiley Hubbard's blasphemous Conversation with the Devil. Might lead to a long philosophical discourse about what would sidetrack me from writing about important blog topics, like how sad I feel when my socks don't match. And who the hell needs that? So after 2 days of exhaustive research, one of which I did while hungover, I found two places that suit my needs. The first is Little Rock, maybe the world's greatest bar. It has great live music, eccentric clientele, chummy bartenders, and is owned by my old college roommate, Quinn Fallon, who's endeared himself to me by never once having charged me for a single libation. But Little Rock, so named because Quinn believes every bar needs a little rock, had two logistical drawbacks. One, it has no second floor. I didn't ask, but I'm sure Quinn would have put me a card table and a lawn chair up on the roof. I might have become a local tourist attraction. But without walls, I might one day blunder right off the roof and OSHA would have its first case of a writer being hurt while in the act of writing. Second, Little Rock is in Columbus, Ohio. If I could pull it off, I'd gladly make the 2 or 3.5 hour drive to Columbus, spend an hour blogging, an hour drinking with Quinn, and then heading home. Really being gone 9 hours a day is a typical existence. But I'd miss watching The Price is Right, and let's be honest, I haven't been able to confine my convivial drinking to 1 hour a day since the fourth grade. That left one obvious choice. Hello, Tin Lizzie. My commute has been cut in half. I'm now just 1.2 miles from home. My wife said I could walk. Hell, I said, I'm going to zip line. Won't that be cool? The historic Tin Lizzie is Youngstown's landmark building. Youngstown, remember, is just a one-stoplight town outside of Latrobe. Before moving up the mountain, Val and I lived just a quarter mile from the Tin Lizzie from 1992 through 2007. It's a great town, and in fact, is the birthplace of both Fred Rogers and Arnold Palmer. Locals know Latrobe Country Club is not where in Latrobe. Neither is Palmer. They're both Youngstown. For seven wonderful years, my office was above a really great bar. Now it's above three of them. The basement is a Rathskeller, live music. The ground floor is a perfectly cool towny shot in a beer bar. And the second floor is Flappers, a 1940s themed martini bar. And now the entire third floor is me. To enter, I need to pass through four locked doors. I like Maxwell Smart from the iconic Get Smart opening sequence. That's me. It's 79 steps to the third floor, and I have it all to myself. There are 11 rooms, but not 11 doors. It's a perfectly maze-like. I can get all my exercise without ever having to leave the building. There's no shower, but the restroom gives me the discerning urinator, the choice of either bowl or wall-mounted receptacle. I'm weighing an odd, even calendar routine on that. Most of the rooms are like being in a bar's attic. There's old chairs, tables, paints, workspace. One room has all the Christmas decorations so I can commune with Claus anytime I need a jolt of the holiday spirit. The actual office is one slim room overlooking Main Street. It's a great view. The floors are badly warped, so writing while seated on the wheelchair is like riding on the pitching deck of a ship. I was very pleased when my friend Buck offered me the space. He's been running the building for, I think, 40 years. He's gone way out of his way to make me feel welcome, as have the staff. I got an unexpected call at 7:30 this morning. It was Sandy offering me coffee. How sweet. I screamed at her and told her not to bother me again until she's prepared a 3-egg-white, all-organic Western omelet with Bavarian goat cheese and tell me when it was ready. She hasn't called back. She's either insulted or having a difficult time securing a Bavarian goat. The most awkward aspect of moving has been answering so many questions about where I'm going to get drunk. While I, mostly, exaggerate my drinking for blog purposes, people are concerned I'll abandon the pond. It's a tough call. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. All my buddies are at the pond, and I have loyalties there. But the pond did evict me, and I should convey some loyalty to the people who are welcoming me in. I endured long stretches where my writing is roundly ignored, but I'm never lacking for interest in people who want me as a drinking buddy. I feel like a highly paid, highly touted QB prospect that is being fought over by competing NFL teams. Not a draft pick, a draft beer pick. I guess there's only one thing to do that won't hurt everyone's feelings among the people who've been so nice to me. Columbus, here I come. It reeks of pretentiousness, but the reaction is convincing me that every bar needs a little Rodel. Little Rodel, that is. Studies show 72% of Americans don't get enough sleep. I question the validity of the study. How do they find researchers capable of staying awake long enough to secure the finding? Put me in a room and tell me to study a sleeping man, and guaranteed I'll be sound asleep in 2 minutes. I'd like to see a sleep study about the sleeping habits of people who conduct sleep studies. It's a joke I wish I'd have thought of years ago, and one you're welcome to use. I called the physical therapist as she was en route to our first in-home visit. I said, oh, and I hope you like dogs. Our 80-pound pit bull is loose, and Goliath missed lunch. Sometimes people confuse his playfulness with rage, and that only makes him more playful, so be alert. Poor woman was literally trembling when Snickers, our shrill little yip dog, alerted us to her presence. She asked if we'd found Goliath. I told her Goliath was gone. Gone, she asked. I told her he'd been eaten by Snickers. We had a good laugh. Only one problem with this prank. It's unwise to play it on a woman who, moments later, will have your signed permission to commit torture. What if they change the rules and people get into heaven based purely on the number of tears they shed during their mortality? Would you make the cut? Did you suffer grievous losses? Were the bullies targeting you? Were you empathetic when you witnessed injustice or cruelty? Did your heart break easily? Me, it's a cinch I'd get in. I've been a pirate fan my whole damn life. Hi, this is Chris Rodell again, and it's been Chris Rodell all along. I want to thank you for listening, and stop in next week. I'll try and keep it current. Have a great weekend.